I'd like to read two passages from the Bible. The first one is in the first epistle of John. It's on page 1478 in this Bible, the first chapter of John's first epistle, and halfway through verse 7. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, into the Old Testament and Psalm 51. Psalm 51, be gracious unto me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the abundance of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me fully from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is continually before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, be clear when thou judgest. Behold, in iniquity was I brought forth, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou wilt have truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou wilt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear gladness and joy, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy spirit of holiness from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and let a willing spirit sustain me. I will teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall return unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare thy praise. What is on my mind this evening, and I seek help to speak of it, is the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. In normal things, I expect most of us know there are times when we're much dirtier physically than we'd like to be. And sometimes it takes an awful lot of effort to get rid of that. Sometimes I've even had a shower and a bath and then another shower before I felt clean. But the blood of Jesus Christ is totally effective in removing every stain, every sin, everything that you've done that offends God. I'm sure most of you have been to London. The Old Bailey has a statue of justice on the top of it. She stands with a balance in her hand, and it's tipping slightly to one way. I suspect that reflects the court system in this country, that guilt has to be proved beyond reasonable doubt. But in God's reckoning, things are different. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Put anyone on the balances and they go down very, very quickly like that. We're all sinners, and the only way of being cleansed is by the blood of Jesus Christ. But as we all know, that cleansing was not achieved without cost to my Saviour. You think about the one who was God, who knew no sin, walking about here on this earth, where everywhere around he was conscious of things that must have offended his holy nature, and where he served in a way that was unique, coming into circumstances, all sorts of people, men, women, children, and bringing in healing and help, even raising from among the dead. I often think about that widow who was burying her only son. You can't think of a story that's more poignant, if that's the right word, than that. That there was a woman, her only son, her only hope, and she was taking him out for burial. But even in circumstances like that, Jesus can come in. He stopped the procession and he says to that young man, "Youth, I say to you, wake up." I love to think of the word of Jesus going right into the soul of a dead person and raising him. But how much it cost Jesus that you and I and that man and everyone else might be forgiven from our sins. We think of the way that Jesus went, that work so full on Calvary. Who can value what Jesus did for me there? I think the hymn says it in part, God is satisfied with Jesus. And the question for me is, can I say I am satisfied as well? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from every sin. John warns us, if we have say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then later, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's power, as the hymn says, there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you and me from every sin. I'm thankful that I know what it is to say that I have been cleansed from my sins. I can look back on a very, very long time and say that that was when Jesus, well, I first had a link with Jesus. And since then, I can't say I've never sinned. I wouldn't say, I couldn't say, I couldn't honestly say. Even as a believer, we sin. I can remember telling a lie. I was in a tight corner and I couldn't get out of it. I didn't think quick enough. And I told a lie, a deliberate lie. It still lives with me. That was 50 years ago, a single lie, but it offended the God I love. But Jesus went to Calvary's tree for you and for me. He bore our sins then, there. He suffered such awful hatred of men, first of all. Think of the way that they did things to the Saviour. They hit him. They spat on him. All these things they did. Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. They just said, crucify him, crucify him. And weak, weak Pilate gave in to them. He gave in. And Jesus was crucified. And there he was on that cross with nails in his hands and his feet. The awful suffering that that must have been. As not just minutes ticked by, but hours ticked by. And Jesus was there, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. They mocked him even there. Even when he was dying. But we love to think of one man who found the Saviour there. You wonder too about the centurion, what he came to. Truly, this man was Son of God. Jesus died. He was buried. A and he was raised from among the dead. 3 days later, 3 days later, early in the morning, those women came to the tomb. Someone had been there already. Someone had been there. God had worked to raise Jesus from among the dead. The deed had been done. Jesus was alive. But he had borne there the awful penalty of the sin of mankind. Thousands and thousands of years of sin of the population of this world. Population increasing all the time. Number of sins being committed increases too. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from every sin. And that is the Saviour we want to present to you. The one who has borne our sins in his own body on the tree for you and for me. My sins, the hymn says, are not in part, but the whole, were born on the cross and are gone evermore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I read in Psalm 51. Brethren might have been surprised how well I knew the psalm, but this explains it now. I read about David. We don't need to go into the detail of what he did. There was a man that God had anointed king. He had everything that he could possibly wish for, and he committed this awful thing. Grave, grave sin. A man died. A child died. So he addresses God, "Be gracious unto me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the abundance of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me fully from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." It had a word from God via Nathan, a prophet, which had touched his heart. Somehow the message had got through. He spoke about a lamb being sacrificed, the only lamb of a master. David got all annoyed at this, and then Nathan brings in that sharp, sharp word, "Thou art the man." How solemn. Satan had seized King David, but God had spoken to him through the prophet, and the word got home. Oh, that the word might get into your soul today, dear friend, that God is speaking in the glad tidings with a message for you today, 2024. A message for you, a message for the century, a message for the day, a message until my blessed Saviour comes to take me to be with himself. And what I noticed about this psalm, and I'm not going to go through it word by word anyway, "I've done what is evil in thy sight." Purge me with hyssop. He's asked to be cleaned and now purged. And I think you get some impression of that. I don't really know fully what the word purge means, but it seems to involve a pretty drastic process. And King David was prepared for that, that every trace of this sin might be removed from the sight of a holy God. A God who's too holy to look upon iniquity. A God who's absolutely righteous too. As I've said about the balances, God's balances are perfect. There's no getting away with anything if I can speak simply with God. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. He knows our motives, everything we do. He evaluates them according to his standards. But he's a Saviour God. He's a loving God. And the God who loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son for me and for you, that we might know what it is to arrive at this position, that David, "Make me to hear gladness and joy. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. create in me a clean heart. We've spoken about washing externally, getting our hands clean, getting our face clean, getting our skin cleaned. Create in me a clean heart. And we spoke in the reading about what it is that goes on inside there that you don't know anything about, and I don't know anything about with you. But God knows. Create in me a clean heart. Something far deeper. And take not the spirit of thy holiness from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Let a willing spirit sustain me. I think maybe others a bit like me, we read this, or at least remembered this verse. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. But it doesn't say that. It's thy salvation. It's God's salvation that he's got available for you. Restore that to me, he says. And let a willing spirit sustain me. I will teach transgressors thy ways. And then he goes on to say, Lord, open my lips, and thy mouth shall declare thy praise. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart, spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. David is seeking that all out of this awful experience, something may be for God's pleasure. And God delights in repenting sinners. There's joy in heaven over one sinner repenting. There doesn't have to be a huge crowd. Heaven can deal with those. But one sinner. And heaven delights in one repenting sinner. So how are we going to be maintained here with a clean heart? We have human hearts within us, subject to the thoughts of men. What do we do about it? Create in me a clean heart. Help of the Holy Spirit is available. God's gift to you and for me. The gift from an ascended Christ. I love to think about that. Better for you that I go away. The Comforter will be sent to you. The Father. I will beg the Father. He will send you another Comforter. So we don't have to go this pathway on our own. We have a divine person indwelling us. Each one of us. Each one of us. You, me, everyone here. The Holy Spirit is available. If only we'll give him the place that God wants him to have with us. I feel the challenge of this. I'm sure others perhaps do too. But God has provided all the resources we need to walk here, to take advantage of what Jesus has done by putting their trust and becoming clean, a clean, create in me a clean heart, and then walking here in a way that's pleasing to him, and being concerned that too we rightly give God thanks for the great love he's expanded on us and seek to follow him more closely. Well, I hope that's short enough for the children. May God bless each one of us.